You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can you just greet your seatmate for a while and greet them a warm afternoon greetings? Come on. Medyo demure kayo ngayon, 5 p.m. service. Today, we are starting a brand new three-part series. Everybody say three-part. And we are calling this The Story of Us. This is way better than The House of Us. You know what I'm talking about, right? This is way better than the one at the movie theater several weeks ago. The Story of Us. What is this all about? Okay, what is this all about? So the word us there talks about us. So meaning to say, this is going to be about what? Biblical anthropology. This is going to be biblical anthropology, and we are excited for this one. When you say anthropology, is there any anthropology major here? Do we have some? Is it offered in any university here in the city? I think so. I think Silliman offers anthropology. When you say anthropology, you're talking about studying humanity in general, human behavior, and all of these things. Now, when we start looking at anthropology, we're looking at it because we are Christians, amen? Okay, we are looking at it in the biblical worldview. So meaning to say, we will see anthropology in light of what the Word of God says about us, our origin, and our purposes in life. Okay, biblical anthropology, we will start answering this stuff right here, who we are and how we get to relate to God. I'd like for us to turn our Bibles for a while as we start this series. Of course, in the first book of your Bible, let's look at Genesis chapter 1 on the very first chapter. Genesis chapter 1, I'm reading from the ESV. We'll start reading in verse 26 and we'll comb through, okay, down to verse 31. But we will be camping basically on verse 26. I'd like for us to stand on our feet for a while to show respect and reverence to God's word. Who am I excited for us to talk about ourselves? Come on now. That's not being narcissistic. We look at it in light of God's word. It says here, Genesis chapter 1, okay, verses 26 to 31. It says here, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, man, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, durian, mangosteen, banana, everything. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. Last verse, verse 31, it says here, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Here's what we're going to do. As we start talking about biblical anthropology, you know, this is not an extensive one that we have here simply because we'll just have 3 weeks. Here's what we will endeavor or attempt to do first. We will look at the beautiful thing that God, okay, created. Okay, we will look at the beauty and the glory of his creation. Now, next week, we will understand and see how sin, everybody say sin. We will see how sin marred or destroyed the beautiful creation of the Lord. And on the third week, we will see how Jesus redeemed all of these things back. That is why this is pretty exciting. You cannot afford to miss an installment of this three-part series. Tell your seatmate for a while, I'm going to see you the next three Sundays. So how are we supposed to understand this? To make this so simple for all of us, we will attempt to understand this by looking at our origin, our purpose. Why on earth am I here? One of the best-selling books ever in the world is the book of Rick Warren that starts asking the question, The purpose-driven life, that's not a question, okay? The purpose-driven life, which asks the question, what on earth am I here for? So we'll try to understand it as well, our purpose, and of course, our identity. Now, here's the thing. It is close to impossible to talk about biblical anthropology, okay, the study of human behavior, human origins in this case. It is close to impossible to talk about that without talking about social issues in our lives. Meaning to say, as we start shedding light, as we start shedding light into what God thinks or says about us, we will face some social issues head on in this specific installment. Okay, we will look at some specific issues later or social issues that affect every single one of us. Now, you may be thinking about so many social issues right now. You could be talking about environmental degradation. You could be talking about poverty. You could be talking about as simple as bullying. You could be talking about murder or any single thing that is present or have been present or will be present as a social issue in our society. Here's the fact. I am sharing that because I want us to understand, as Christians, I want us to understand that every single social issue, past, present, and future, we will have to find out that all of these social issues are just a what? A consequence of man's deviation from its origin, purpose, and identity. Let me say that again. Every single social issue that we will encounter in this lifetime is just a result of our stubbornness in deviating from God's what? From God's original design in terms of our origin, our purpose in life, and our identity. So what we're going to do here this afternoon is that we're going to look at this one by one. We'll start with the first one. Let's talk about our origin. Let's talk about our origin. Let me just read for a while Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says here, "Then God said, let us make man in our image and likeness." Okay, Bible teaches us, at least in verse 26, okay, I've encircled the word "then God." It gives us an idea that when Moses started writing "then God," it gives us a picture there was a sequence or a series of events before this one. Are folks with me? Then God talks about, it gives us a picture that prior to this event right here, there were several other things that has happened in the past how many days or past how many weeks. Are folks with me? So, the story that we're talking about here, of course, is the creation of man. We all know that man was created from the, come on now, from the dust of the ground. Sino sa inyo allergic kayo sa dust? Okay, we were created from the dust of the ground. So we understand that we were created on the sixth day. Okay, the last day of the creation. If you come to think about that, okay, there is a reason as to why God created us last. Because as many of us would say, we always save the best for last. It is not just for God to say, I created you last because you're special. It's actually way more than that. Because try to imagine this with me for a while. 5 p.m. service. Try to imagine this with me for a while. What would have happened if we were created first? Why are you guys laughing? There's no joke there, okay? If man were first in the created order, if Adam was the first one in the created order, look at this one, he would have awakened to something like this. If we were first, then what he would have witnessed was a place that is without form, devoid, and with thick darkness for that matter. But God didn't do it that way. The creation order didn't happen that way. The moment Adam opened his eyes, he didn't open his eyes to a dark or formless world. It's not like, you know, Adam wakes up and gising na ba ako? Wala akong makita. This illustration right here is just a faint illustration of what darkness and formlessness and voidness actually mean. But that is not what happened here. That is not the story of our creation. In fact, it says here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, before man was created, these were things that has happened. Look at this one. God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And after which, look at this one. It talks about the place called Pishon and Avila, and there was already gold. There was already delium and onyx stone. All of these things were present. My point here is this one. When God created man, Adam woke up to behold a paradise. And I don't know with you if you don't look at that as an act of love of God towards every single one of us. Let me just try to illustrate that with us for us for a while. How many are not from this city? You're not from Dumaguete. Can I see your hand for a while? So if you're not from the city, most likely you're renting an apartment, you're renting a boarding house. So it's kind of like something like this. Imagine you rent an apartment, and the moment you get in, this is what greets you. If that is the apartment that you're getting, so what comes into your mind is that you're going to make an inventory. There's no light. Okay, that's one. I'll have to go to City Hardware and buy it. I'll have to contact an electrician to work on it. And then you realize that there's also something wrong with the plumbing. Okay, while you're working, so you kill the cockroach and all of these things. But guess what? That is not the case. Bible teaches us we didn't wake up. We didn't wake up in a formless and void kind of world. We woke up in a place that is already fully furnished. It's like you get in an apartment and this greets you, something like this. Can you imagine how many cars that guy has? Now, this kind of illustration resonates to us. So guess what? The moment Adam opened his eyelids, what greeted him was paradise. What greeted him was paradise. I do understand, to a certain extent, we cannot relate because we don't live in a paradise. But guess what? Bible teaches us, time will come. Time will come that Jesus will redeem all of these things and we will live in a paradise. Whatever it is that we are experiencing right now, cancer, all kinds of sickness, all kinds of social problems, all kinds of poverty in all sorts, in every parts of the world, this was never God's intent. This was never God's plan. God's plan was for us to live and enjoy paradise for that matter. But we know what happened. Of course, we know what happened. It was because of our sin that we're living our lives right now. You know, John Wesley says, you know, man, as soon as he was made, had the whole visible creation before him, both to contemplate, man, ang sarap mag-quiet time. Both to contemplate and to take comfort of. So every time, can you imagine that? Every single day, you wake up to a paradise. You wake up and you just pick santol, pig atis. What do you want, pig? Let's roast lechon. Everything is just within the reach, within your reach. We live in a paradise. And guess what, friends? This is a narrative right here. You know, John Piper says, you know, man is the crown of creation. Man is the crown of creation, the end toward which it was all directed. It talking about there, every single thing that was created prior to the creation of man. Everything was prepared for every single one of us. And it says here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden. Now, this is our work. This is our only responsibility. Our only responsibility is to work it and keep it. So it gives us a picture, friends. Like what I said, every time we deviate, everyone say deviate. You know what it means? Okay, every time we deviate from our origin, our identity, and our purpose, it always spells trouble. There will always be trouble every time we deviate from God's will for our lives. God's will for us is only for us to what? To work the land and keep it. It's like a gardener just maintaining the garden. That is our only job. That is our only responsibility. We have been called by God to be stewards of His creation. What have we done? What have we done? Friends, I want you to understand this. As Christians, this problem right here is not just the problem of environmentalists. This is not just the problem of Greenpeace. This is not just a problem of worldwide fund for nature. these things happen, and we have a responsibility as God's people here on this earth, because God has called us to be good stewards of His creation. This is what is happening in our world right now. Why? Because we deviated because of greed from the purposes that God has for us to be good stewards of that which He has given every single one of us. Don't you ever think for a moment that when you say reduce, reuse, recycle is only reserved for the biologists, for the ecologists out there, for the weird people out there. It's not just reserved for them. It's basically what? Our responsibility as God's people. The world is the way it is now. Social issue. The world is the way it is now because we have deviated from our purpose, from keeping it and subduing it for that matter. Then it says here, then God said, let us make man in our image. Now that is quite interesting. What is interesting here are the words, let us. Everybody say, let us. Okay? When you say, let us, this is quite intriguing in a sense, simply because prior to this, the words of God were the words, let there. Let there be light. Let there be an expanse. But this time around, it is let us, meaning to say friends. The moment man was created, there was an intense discussion among the Godhead. Meaning to say, we have been thought upon. Meaning to say, this is going to be the masterpiece, the crown jewel of my creation. So why don't we make a man out of our image, out of our likeness for that matter? This one right here gives us a picture of the very first conference in the entire world. The very first strategic planning, the very first strategic discussion. And all of these things transpired because the Godhead was about to create man. I'm sharing this because I want you to understand, if you feel like your life is worth nothing, I want you to understand that man was not created thoughtlessly. We have not been created thoughtlessly. If you know about Rolex watches or some of these Swiss watches, okay, they're handmade, and that's why the price tag on these watches are actually great, are actually big for that matter. Simply because it is what? It is done with intricate care. The God that you worship didn't play dice in eternity past and just decide randomly. They started convening and talking about the creation of mankind. Going to the next one, it says here, then God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. If we fast forward, if we go further to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says here, so God created man in his own image. What do we have here? We have the words make and the word create. Now, just for us to sound amazing, I'll teach us the Hebrew words for these two. Okay, the word create is the word bara. Okay, and the word make is the word asa. If you talk to your mom, Mom, can you asa egg? Scrambled egg, something like that. So you can actually say stuff like that. Now, these are the Hebrew words, and it simply means to do or to create or to form something. To form something. Guess what, friends? When God created the entire world, okay, it was called an ex nihilo, meaning that is creating something out of nothing. What is my point here? Another social issue. My point here is this one. There was no progressive process in our creation. There is no progressive process in our creation. At the end of the day, I want you to understand that you are not a cosmic accident. You are not a glamorized germ. We have been created by God. We have not evolved. You may argue about radioactive carbon dating. That thing cannot support a billion-year Earth theory. It will always support a young Earth theory for that matter. The thing here is that I want us to understand, okay, it's hard for people to imagine a God who creates. It's because they don't worship the God that we worship. But if we understand who God is, we know for a fact that the God that we worship can create something out of nothing. And He created the Earth for every single one of us. And He created man out of the dust of the ground. We're not coming from germs. Evolution cannot explain to you the intricacies of your very own eyes. There has been a missing link for decades that will remain missing until the earth will cease to exist. Because it is an excuse for the theory that we are being fed in your schools. But as Christians, what do we embrace? What worldview do we embrace? We embrace the what? The biblical worldview of creation. You have been created by the God Most High. Amen. We have been created by God Himself. We have been created out of the dust of the ground. Friends, you didn't come from monkeys. Insulto sa kanila yon. I'm just kidding. It's easy to embrace this because this is what our limited mind can basically fathom. But to think about a God who created a universe that tells me that I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. It tells me that, man, I'm just not a random number in this world. That God took special time because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to understand this. If you're here and you're struggling with insecurity, you're struggling with acceptance, you're feeling so insignificant, I want you to understand this verse. Contemplate on this verse because it tells here, your soul will know full well that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You rely on the opinions of social media more than this, you are in trouble. You start comparing yourselves to other people, you are in trouble. You know, pressure comes in when comparison creeps in. I want you to understand the only standard that we base our life on is God's word. And God's word tells every single one of us that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Tell your seatmate for a while, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Huwag niyong papiliin. Fearful ka ba? Fearfully made ka ba? Or wonderful? Ibang usapan yun. Let's talk about the second one. The purpose. Here's the question. Why were we created? Okay. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, God creates man. Big question is why? Now, let me just explain this to us by explaining something that I learned years ago. Okay, we all understand the concept of an ecosystem. Is there any biology teacher here in this room? Can I see your hand for if you're a bio teacher? Meron po ba? Good, wala. So, wala magko-correct sa akin. Any biology student? Graduating? None? Okay. Then I can say whatever I want. I'm just kidding. We all understand the concept of an ecosystem. Okay, an existing ecosystem could be a forest ecosystem. It could be an underwater ecosystem. But the general thing about an ecosystem is that it always stands in balance, in harmony. Meaning to say, one aspect, whether flora or fauna, would basically contribute for the betterment of the ecosystem. Okay? Bio 101. Now look at this one. This is what we call a food web, a food pyramid for that matter. How do we understand food pyramid? How do we understand food web or food chain? Food chain? No, it's not food chain. Can you please stop coaching me? Food chain, Jollibee. Food chain, di ba? Jollibee, McDo. Food web. Food chain nga. Tama nga food chain. Kasi maganda na yung food web ko. Huwag nyo nang pakialaman. Now, we understand the concept of a food web. Okay, we understand that a worm plays a major role in the balance of an ecosystem. We all understand that as much as you hate rats, you know, rats and mice plays a major role in the balance of a certain ecosystem. Sometimes you hate having lizards in your home. If you eradicate all the lizards, then you'll have an abundance of cockroach for that matter. You'll have an abundance of mosquitoes for that matter. Every single species will always play a crucial role in a balanced ecosystem. Here's my question. If you remove man from the ecosystem, what will happen? Because if you ask me, as much as you cry after watching National Geographic, a lion tearing up a deer, as much as you hate that sight, that is necessary in an ecosystem, in a savanna or in a certain desert for that matter. It is necessary. That should happen because that creates balance in the ecosystem. You cannot remove the worms from the ground because if you remove the worms from the ground, then birds cannot eat of anything and they will die. And if the birds will die, something else will die because they cannot feed off birds that have already gone extinct for that matter. Nahirapan ako dun. So what is my point here? You remove the lion, you disrupt the balance. You remove the worm, you disrupt the balance. You remove the cockroach, you remove the janitor fish, you disrupt the balance. You remove the bear, you disrupt the balance. Guess what, friends? You remove human, nothing happens. You remove human, truth of the matter is, things become way better in this world. Have you ever thought of that? Having said that, why in the world are we so obsessed with self-importance? Because truth of the matter is, you remove man in any ecosystem, all the more it will thrive. So why were we created? If worms were created on a specific day to do a specific work, which is to what? To help in the decomposition of any material. If birds or frogs have been created to do a specific work in the ecosystem, in a certain environment, God's only purpose for creating men is to glorify Him. Westminster Catechism says man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. What are we talking about, friends? The moment Adam woke, he realized that his role is to have a deep communion with God. That our role, supposedly, is that we're supposed to be worshipers of God. Like what I said, that is not what we're doing right now. That is not what the world is doing right now. Because we have deviated from our purpose because of the fall. The next thing that I want to talk about is identity, which is the last one. Let's talk about identity. If you start talking about identity, it says here, then God said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Look at this one. It says here, in our image, okay, after our likeness. This is quite interesting in a sense that when God created everything, none of those things basically mirrors who God is. Tiger is cute. Polar bear is cute. What's the cutest animal in the world? Cats? How can cats be cute? Cats, dogs, panda. You guys laugh when you see a panda? Yeah. On TV? On YouTube? But guess what? None of those things that God declared that these things are taken after my image and likeness. Friends, on the sixth day, God created man. And here's what they said. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. In Latin, this is what we call Imago Dei. Imago Dei, meaning to say, every single human in this world has an imprint of God. No wonder you don't see a dog worshiping God, because only man has been endowed by the Spirit of God to have a deep communion with Him. No wonder everywhere you go in the world, whatever tribes, people that you go to, they will always form a rock, a tree trunk to worship. Why? Because deep in us is an innate sense to worship the God who made us. You understand that, you understand Imago Dei in a kingdom perspective. Every kings, okay, in the olden times would always put up a what? Would always put up a marker to the extent of the kingdom that they have. If their kingdom extends up until Amlan, up until Shaton, there will always be marker in every barangay. So in the same way, if we are the Imago Dei, the image of God, we are like markers who are going to take dominion in this world. And our responsibility as the bearers of God's image is to what? Is to go forth. The Bible says to take dominion, to subdue the earth, and to fill the earth for that matter. Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. In verse 26, it says here, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Look at this one. The fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the livestock, or over every living, all the earth, and over every creeping thing, whatever creepy that is, however creepy that is, that creeps on the earth, we are to take dominion over all of these things. We bear God's image in us. Social issue again. Now, it gives us a picture that if I start attacking someone and murdering someone, it tells me then that I am attacking someone that bears the very image of God. I do understand that all of us here didn't kill someone. I want you to understand this. If you attack someone online, you know what I'm talking about? You attack someone online because you're so angry and you cannot practice self-control, you know what you're doing? You're attacking someone that bears the image of God. A DNA has the complete information that makes up who we are. So meaning to say, a fetus in the womb of a mother is already a human being. Therefore, then it gives me a picture that abortion, which is becoming a problem in our society, is basically murder. Why? Because it is an attack to the very image of God. Let me go to the last one. It says here, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. The Bible teaches us that God created man, male and female. So what do we have here? What do we have here? Like what I said, we have to understand the origin, the purpose, and our identity. Friends, our identity is either we are a male or a female. Maleness and femaleness is a divine attribute. It is a divine assignment. It is not up to us to change something that God has given. Maleness and femaleness is not on the negotiation table. Now, before you tell me that I am anti-homosexual, I tell you not. If you've been in this church for quite some time now, you know for a fact that that is a lie. I have a lot of homosexual friends. If you are homosexual, you are totally welcome in this church because as much as you have issues, there are also people who have issues. I have my own issues. We all have issues because we're all fallen beings for that matter. At the end of the day, we only rely on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fact still stands that maleness and femaleness is not up to us to decide. It is what God has given every single one of us. This is basically the fact that we see in the Bible. Like what I said a while ago, if you go to the book of Genesis, if you start reading the book of Genesis, you will totally understand what is wrong with us. You will totally understand why we behave a certain way. After creating everything, in verse 28, it says here, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, over every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. When God created everything, his conclusion was, everything is basically good. It is because of our sin that we have deviated from that which God has originally designed. It says here, in last verse, in verse 31, it says here, God saw everything. What is everything? God looks at this masterpiece. How many of you love painting? Or you love drawing? Right? When you create something, it's so dear to you. Sometimes you frame it. Others laminate it. Some of you sell it on Shopee. Sell it somewhere. It's so dear to you. It is important to you. I want you to understand this. I want you to understand this. The only thing that God created that can commune with Him even after this life on earth are not your shih tzus, not your cats, not your pet turtle. It is you, your seatmate, and every single one of us. God looks at His creation and says, in my image, in my likeness, the maleness, the femaleness, and He says, behold, it was very good. It was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Let me leave us with this thought. Man was thoughtfully created and was purposefully designated to basically glorify His very Creator.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.